You know, we always have problems in the church, right? Well, I'm going to make it a little bit light before I start the message. You know, there's squirrels can be a problem. You know, maybe you've had problems with squirrels. I know people have problems with squirrels. They, you know, with the Texas, the freeze, it's amazing how little critters had come out. And they had to capture these squirrels and haul them off to another place. But how various religions solved a squirrel infestation. Okay? So the Presbyterian Church called a meeting to decide what to do about their squirrel infestation. After much prayer and consideration, they concluded that the squirrels were predestined to be there, and they should not interfere with God's divine will. The Baptist Church, now this is not to put down any religion whatsoever, but I'm just, this is a squirrel problem. The Baptist Church, the squirrels had taken an interest in the baptistry. The deacons met and decided to put a water slide on the baptistry and let the squirrels drown themselves. Squirrels are smarter than that. The squirrels liked the slide and unfortunately knew instinctively how to swim, so twice as many squirrels showed up the following week. The Lutheran Church decided that they were not in a position to harm any of God's creatures, so they humbly trapped their squirrels and set them free near the Baptist Church. 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back where the Baptists took down their water slide. The Episcopalians tried a much more unique path by setting out pans of whiskey around their church in the effort to kill the squirrels with alcohol poisoning. They sadly learned how much damage a band of drunk squirrels can do. But the Catholic Church came up with a more creative strategy. They baptized all the squirrels and made them members of the church. Now they see them at Christmas and Easter only. Do you see any squirrels here at the Jewish synagogue? Well, not much was heard from the Jewish synagogue. They took the first squirrel and circumcised him. They haven't seen a squirrel since. It's good to laugh. Well, the title of the message today is The Old to the New Regarding the Covenants. We have a booklet called The New Covenant. It's probably one of our thickest booklets. And the message, the information that I'm giving you today is from this booklet. There is a lot of information on the Old and New Covenant. So as we review the differences between the two, that's what I would like to do today, is to review the two and to show us that the New Covenant is much better. It's superior. And as we go through this, I was thinking about this. I hope to be able to bring out the mindset of what this new covenant represents and to be focusing on that, especially as we come into the Feast of Pentecost. The old covenant offered physical promises and physical blessings. We'll touch on that here in just a minute. The new covenant offers spiritual promises and spiritual blessings, including eternal life. Both covenants were established on God's promises to Abraham. The old covenant was ratified by the people through the blood of bullocks. The new covenant is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's ratified also as we commit our lives to our calling. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28. And I want to read these physical blessings that God said he would give to the nation of Israel, the people, if they obeyed him. Now, a covenant is an agreement, a compact that God has made with the nation of Israel. It no longer exists today. It's gone. It's wiped out. The new covenant abolishes the old covenant. But it's between two parties. And you know what? God ratified the agreement, and it's not for human beings to change, to modify. You know, you go with contracts today, and it's like, well, if you don't like something, you can change it, and you go back and forth, and hopefully an agreement can be done. Well, God gives the, he sets the laws, he puts it in motion, and said, you're either going to obey it or you're not. You have a choice. So the negotiations, the terms are non-negotiable. In the New Covenant booklet, it said it should be obvious why God's covenants would not be negotiated agreements between equal parties. God is the creator, we are the creation. Our well-being is dependent on his love and favor. The New Oxford Dictionary English defines the theological use of covenant as an agreement which brings about a relationship of commitment between God and his people. You know, today's message is going to be more of a Bible study type message than a sermon, but it's very impactful as we go through this. I want to highlight on a few things as I bring out the old and compare it to the new, or the new and compare it to the old, and how much better it is, and what God is offering us. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll see that the old covenant had physical blessings, and they were promised to Israel if they would just obey the covenant. Look what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. So I'm going to set you high above all the nations of the earth. I'm going to make a contract with you. And this will happen if you follow the covenant. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I mean, they're going to come upon you. They're going to overtake you. They're just going to come. They're just going to come rolling in. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. You're going to be blessed wherever you go. Blessed shall you be by the fruit of your body, meaning your children, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be the basket of your kneading, the kneading bowl, regarding healthy food. You're going to be blessed. Blessed shall you be when you come in and go, and blessed shall you be when you go out. When you go in your house, you're going to be blessed. When you come out of your house, you're going to be blessed. Wherever you go, you're going to be blessed. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. We spend $1 trillion a year, if I understand right, on our military. $1 trillion. Because we don't want to obey God. The Lord will command the blessings on you and your storehouses, and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And you can keep reading what God is going to do. I'm going to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. I'm going to take care of you. You obey me. I'm going to bless you and bless you. That's what the old covenant was. It was physical blessings. Drop down to verse 15, and you can read all the way. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 28 goes all the way through verse 68. Goes a little bit into chapter 29. God says, if you don't obey me, these are all the curses that will come upon you. And we know Israel agreed to this. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. Because the new covenant is a spiritual covenant with spiritual promises and spiritual blessings. And if you would like to, for those who are following, you can keep your finger or put your little marker there. We'll be coming to Hebrews a number of times. Hebrews chapter 8, regarding the new covenant with the spiritual promises and spiritual blessings, but now he has ordained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also mediator of a better covenant. So this one is better. It's actually superior. The first covenant did not, there was eternal life. The Holy Spirit wasn't given except to a select few. So this is a better covenant, which was established on better promises, it says. Then verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So yes, verse 7 tells us that there was a flaw in that covenant. Go to this booklet. So where was the problem? Well, verse 8, because finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, but I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So let me just read a couple paragraphs from the New Covenant booklet. The primary weakness of the Sinai covenant was not in the laws, but it was in the people's lack of a willing heart to obey them. Why? Because they were not given the Holy Spirit. Israel's people were incapable of understanding and performing the full intent and purpose of God's teaching. God's Holy Spirit helps us to understand, helps us to implement it. God's Holy Spirit helps us to know the mind of God. Here is how Paul summarizes that fault. They have the scripture 2 Corinthians 3, 14 and 16 says, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Why? Because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When God calls us, and we respond, when God calls us, he's actually taking the scales off our eyes so we can see, as we see what happened to Paul on his way to Damascus. The people of ancient Israel, like most people today, simply could not grasp the full spiritual value of the teachings God gave through Moses. The reason is plain. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. The man without the Spirit of God cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, as we heard in the sermonette. For they are foolishness to him. So without God opening the eyes and showing them the spiritual way of life, the world looks at it as foolishness. We looked at it as foolishness. Enmity against God is actually hating the things of God. There's no understanding there. You can't see it. Now, Satan is very crafty. He can put false religions. People, I love God. Oh, I love Jesus. I pray to Jesus. Talk about that here in just a little bit as well. For they are foolishness to him and cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. So that's what we're reading what Scripture says. This is not something that we're making up. One last paragraph from the booklet. How thankful we can be that God, under the terms of the new covenant, allows us to receive a new spirit that enables us to obey God's laws. That's what that spirit that helps us to do it. Can't do it on our own. As God promises in Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. So that's what it takes. And God's going to do that with Judah, with Israel, at a fulfillment time in the future, as well as other people as well. And I will take out that stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So Satan's no longer going to be around. He'll be banished, put away. And there's going to be a new government, a new teaching. And so that Holy Spirit helps us to keep God's law. We're created by God. God has to teach us. He has to show us. So the new covenant promises, they're eternal. Since we're in Hebrews, let's turn to 9 verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. Talking about Jesus Christ. Through his death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal life. So the old covenant had physical blessings for obedience to God. The new covenant is a spiritual covenant. It does come with physical blessings as well, but it is the spiritual. To that point where we hear God's word and he wants us to put it into our lives, and we come to that understanding that we too can't keep his law perfectly. It's impossible. And actually the bar is raised, as we'll look at here in just a little bit. But we need God's help. And there's a process for that. So the old covenant required physical. Oh, okay. Next section. This is why I read the thing about circumcision, because the old covenant required physical circumcision. It was a requirement of the old covenant. Today it's not required. Doesn't mean, you know, the babies can't get circumcised, but it's not a requirement. And I'm not going to turn there, but Genesis 17, 9 through 11, for time's sake, okay? It'll tell you there in Genesis 17, 9 through 11, that it's a requirement. And if you don't do it, God says, verse 14 of that same chapter, you'll be cut off. It was a physical requirement under the old covenant. I'm going to turn over to Romans. I read this last week. And this is, I need to read it slower so we can understand it. And maybe you all understood it. For me, I have to read slow, at least this section. But here we're going to see that in the new covenant, circumcision of the heart through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the physical circumcision was showing that it was done to show outwardly that I'm going to obey God. Okay, we don't need to do that outwardly. Sometimes some people wear tassels to say, hey, this is the law of God. I've got it outwardly. It reminds me to obey God. But it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to obey God. It's good to know the law. We need to know the law, as we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But through God's Holy Spirit, that helps us. That reminds us to obey God's law. So I said we would read Romans chapter 2, where no physical circumcision is required under the new covenant. What's required is repentance, okay? Repentance from the heart. And how is that done? Right? Repentance, true repentance, then there's baptism, then the laying on of hands of God's Holy Spirit. But let's turn to Romans chapter 2 and see what Paul is teaching the church regarding physical circumcision and spiritual circumcision. Romans chapter 2, we'll read verses 25 through 29. Try to read it slow and explain it, because it can be difficult to understand. Verse 25 of Romans chapter 2, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. So it's profitable under the old covenant. It was required. That's what he's saying. It was profitable if you keep the law. And then the law here, you can go through what Paul teaches. He talks about law, you know, the penalty of the law, this law. You know, there's just so much in how he talks about different areas of the law, because some people get very confused about, well, Paul's saying you don't have to keep the law. Well, here he's saying, no, if you keep the letter of the law under the old covenant. But if you are a breaker of the law, in other words, okay, so you're going to break the law of God says, obey me and I'll bless you. You don't obey me, I'm going to curse you. So you could be physically circumcised, but you're a breaker of the law. Then your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So just because you are physically circumcised doesn't mean you're going to be obeying God's law. That's what he's saying in verse 25. Verse 26, therefore, if an uncircumcised man, in other words, under the new covenant, someone who's not circumcised, and he could be circumcised, but he's just saying, hey, right here to explain this, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, okay, under the new covenant, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Okay, because circumcision from the heart is also required, but you don't have to be physically circumcised under the new covenant. And verse 27, and will not the physically uncircumcised fulfills the law judge you who with your written code and circumcision are transgressors of the law? So you're transgressing the law and you are circumcised. Someone who's not circumcised and they're obeying God's law under the new covenant, you're going to judge him. For he is not a Jew, verse 28, who is one outwardly. Just keeping the law. Nor is circumcision that which is outwardly in the flesh. There's more to it to be called by God. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. A Jew, talking about someone who's converted, is when he's using the word Jew here. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not physically. Not in the letter of the law, as we were talking about in the Old Covenant, whose praise is not from men, but it's from God. So people were saying in the church, you had to physically be circumcised to be counted worthy of God, to be saved. And Paul's saying, no, that was the Old Covenant. That was for physical blessings, but under the New Covenant, it's deeper than that. Yes, circumcision is required, but it comes from the heart. It comes through repentance. It comes through being baptized and receiving God's Holy Spirit. So under the Old Covenant, like I said, people did not have God's Holy Spirit. They were to obey the letter of the law. And that was a performance type obedience. Let's go to, well, I think, let's turn to Romans 7. We're here. This is sometimes can be another difficult section of scripture, that God's law is not abolished. All right, and again, we have this new covenant booklet, and for any questions that you may have, the information is there. But in Romans 7:5, that we see here that the law does not save us, but we keep God's law. And the Holy Spirit helps us to keep the law, is what is being said here in Romans chapter 5. We'll read a couple of verses. For when we were in the flesh, in other words, the sinful passions, which we were aroused by the law. So God's law shows us when we break it, that we sin. We're at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Okay, so under the old covenant, you saw it, but that, there's no forgiveness. You would die a physical death, and there was nothing there for that old covenant to give you eternal life. But now we have been delivered from the law. Oh, don't have to keep the law anymore? No. We've been delivered from the penalty of the law. We've been delivered from the old covenant. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. So we are to serve in the newness of the servant of the Spirit with the new covenant and not in the oldness of the letter. Talking about the letter of the law, the old covenant. He's trying to explain this. When you are doing this, you've been doing this all your life, and you were told to do these things, and now here comes Jesus Christ, who came and died. This is your sacrifice. The high priests of Aaron, no longer. No, there's a new high priest. And we know, as being in the church for a period of time, that the bar has been raised. You know, the law has not been done. You can go over to Matthew 5 and you can read that, you know, you're to not hurt your brother, not even to hate your brother. Talks about you're not even to commit adultery, right? You've heard that you're not to commit adultery. Okay, well, does Christ say, no, you don't have to keep adultery anymore? No, he says, raise the bar, don't even look at a woman. The law has never been done away. And Rio read Romans chapter 8 already and showed us that we have the Holy Spirit to help us to keep the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. So I'm not going to turn over there. Under the old covenant, if you kept the letter of the law, you could live in the community and were able to go to the earthly tabernacle for physical cleansing, but that was under the old covenant. So you saw that you sinned, you transgressed against your brother, you know, you weren't obeying God's law, you could go with the physical cleansings, go to the temple, and be cleansed. Let's go to Hebrews. Under the new covenant, we don't need the physical cleansings to cleanse us anymore. Sometimes, why don't we keep those same things? Well, the physical cleansings, they all pointed to Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9. We don't need the physical cleansings to cleanse us. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll read verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats. So they had sacrifices, right? Depending on what type of sin you did, would be dependent on what type of sacrifice you would need to go before the priests and have sacrificed. For if the blood of the bulls and goats. So the blood would have to be used, poured out, right? And the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. So it's the purifying of the flesh. This is what the old covenant was. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The old covenant, you may go offer an animal because you sinned, but you know what? Your conscience was never cleared. It all stayed with you. The blood of the goats and the heifers couldn't wash away sin. There was no forgiveness of sin. Except once a year, which we'll look at here in just a little bit. But it's, we see that it's through Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. through the power of God's Holy Spirit. God shows us what sin is. Holy Spirit is very powerful. It's John 4, we don't need to turn over there. We all know this scripture. And I know sometimes say, well, maybe we don't know all this scripture. Well, it's John 4, and maybe we'll hear it tomorrow. But we're told to worship God in spirit and truth, right? We're told, you know, the woman at the well, Jesus Christ is talking to her. And there's two verses there, John 4, 23 and 24. It says that we must worship God in spirit and truth. And that's what God is seeking. The Holy Spirit reveals God's truth. So as we heard in the first message, we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't want to shelf it, as was put to us. God is showing us how to live. We need to respond and do it. But our nature, we still have that nature, which is hostile towards God. It doesn't want to obey God. And we have Satan pulling at us. So we need God's help to be able to worship through that Holy Spirit and to obey his truth. And when we're doing that, let's turn over to John 16. I think this is important. Sometimes we look at our covenant with God for physical blessings, for physical obedience. What does God want? He wants us to be in his kingdom, right? He wants us to be like him. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. He wants us to be passionate about doing the will of God. John 16, verse 23. Well, let me read this here. It says, in that day you will ask me nothing. So in that day when Christ has died, been resurrected, and is with the Father, he says, don't pray to me. Don't ask me anything. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we pray to the Father. We ask for things from the Father. Jesus Christ intercedes, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit, at the right hand of God. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And then John 15, 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's the new covenant, to bear fruit. Why? So we can give God glory, we have happy lives, and eventually receive the gift of eternal life. Well, I need to move along here. And Hebrews 10:10, if you've kept your finger over in Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice to help us to overcome. Hebrews 10, verse 10. But that will we have been sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. One time. He only had to do the sacrifice one time. Old covenant, every time you'd sin, you'd have to do a sacrifice. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. And the emphasis, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being set apart, sanctified. So we're transformed, we're changed under the new covenant, transformed by Christ. And then Hebrews 9, verse 7, but into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins, commit in ignorance. This is the old covenant. Once a year, Day of Atonement. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way to the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. So Christ wasn't manifested to take away their sins on the old covenant. Verse 9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Conscience was still there. Their sin was still accounted to them. Verse 10, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. So under the new covenant, when we transgress the law, our sins can be forgiven. We have access to the throne of God. As God shows us and leads us, we can repent. But not if we don't acknowledge it. If we ignore it and go forward, then I'm not going to keep that contract. We've committed to it at baptism, receive God's Holy Spirit, but we say, nope, I'm not going to do it. And we know that we should because we're lazy, we're procrastinating, or whatever the reason is, we don't do it. We're going against God, what he's revealing to us through the Holy Spirit, to produce fruit, to be loving, to be kind, to quit stealing, to quit gossiping, to quit taking his name in vain, etc., etc. I think it's good to, Hebrews chapter 10, 16, we're here. Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. This is what he's going to do in the future. They're not, it's not over for them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So for them, they will also be able to be under the new covenant in the future. As we heard in the sermonette, God is calling a few now. We'll learn more about that tomorrow. Now, where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. It's over. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins and we move forward, we can forget about it. It's over. It's done. And if they keep coming back into our conscience, we go before God and say, help me to get them out. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. And you can go all the way down through here and read all the way to verse 25. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. Mr. Tuck brought this up. Verse 26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So once we know the truth, that there's things that we know that we need to do and we don't do it, you know what? Our time is now. We can repent now. After we're resurrected, and we're resurrected the physical, that's it. Judgment time. We want to be resurrected to spirit. I think if you can, again, Hebrews 9, there's a lot in Hebrews 9. Read that. Hebrews 8. Let's read Hebrews 8, 3 and 4, talking about the high priest under the old covenant. Hebrews 8. Who were the high priests under the old covenant? Hebrews 8. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Yeah, there was a high priest that got handed down through the ages, but for Israel here under Aaron, there it is necessary for this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, talking about Jesus Christ, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Aaron's sons. were high priests. And if Jesus Christ was here, there, then he wouldn't be the high priest. He had to come and suffer, die, and be resurrected. And we have Jesus Christ as our high priest forever. Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. And then let me just read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16 says, seeing then, we're encouraged, brethren, we're under the new covenant. We have God's Holy Spirit. Let's use it. Let's ask for help. To do what? To grow in the spiritual blessings, to receive the spiritual promises. Seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Or our calling, or our journey. We'll talk about tomorrow. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Christ knows we're weak. He knows we need help. When Peter stepped out of that boat, the water was raging, the wind was blowing. He said, let me walk on the water too. Christ says, come on, Peter. Peter steps out of the boat. What's he doing? He's walking on water as well. Until the wind came up. Until there was, you know, if you use the analogy, how I take it, the disturbances that we go through in our life. The weaknesses that I need to be a better person. I need to be able to overcome these things. I need help. And then Peter started to sink. And he quickly says, help me. Help me, Lord. And what does Jesus Christ do? He quickly reaches out his hand and he helps Peter. Get back into the boat. Get back into the boat and everything is calm. That quick. And they're like, amazed. Christ says, Peter, why did you doubt? You know, Mr. Tuck had talked, he's been talking about faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Let's not get caught up into the society and all the world that's going around. All the confusion of what's going on, right? But we do our best. We do our best to follow, to be a good example, to not create waves. How are we able to do that? How are we able to not be discouraged? How are we able to be godly with one another? How are we able to be godly with each other? Well, it's through faith. We don't doubt. We ask God for help. Why? Well, he's shown us that's what we need to do. And then he helps us to do it. We use the power. We use the power to be what? Love. And we use the power to be love. We have a sound mind. And God leads us and we follow. And nothing is going to distract us. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Yes, we fall, we sink, we get involved. We're not love, not using the power. God knows that. Christ knows that. But they can't, they're there. They sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Yet he was also, he never sinned. He was pointed at all points. Satan tried to get him to sin. He never sinned. People came to test him and to tempt him. He never sinned. He had a relationship with God. Yes, he was God and he was in the flesh, but he was always praying. He was always praying and he was putting that into practice. He had a relationship with God. You know, before Jesus Christ walked on the water at this particular point, we were talking about it this week, a number of us were online, you know, they were with the multitudes, and Christ puts all the disciples in the boat, and he sends them off into the sea. It was the Sea of Galilee. And they're in the middle of the sea. He had got rid of the multitudes, and he goes up into the mountain and prays. And at night, he comes down as the boat is in the middle of the sea. This is in Matthew chapter 14. You can start reading verse 28 and work your way down to there. He starts walking from the beach, starts walking on the water all the way out to the middle of the sea. And that's when they saw him. They thought he was a ghost. They actually thought he was a dead man walking. As they're with Christ, it's like, there's no ghosts. They thought he was a ghost. But he prayed to God. And then he went and performed. But was in all points tempted as we are, but he never sinned. He had a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with God, and we can ask him to forgive us of our sins and help us to not sin and help us to follow the processes of going to our brother and saying we're sorry and not hurting them. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves is the new covenant. And we need God's help to implement that. So we can come boldly to the throne of grace or his favor. What does he want us to do? Ask anything in my name. Go to the Father and pray. I will intercede on your behalf. That's under the new covenant, as we see in Hebrews. God wants us to bear fruit. That's what we've been called to do. That we may obtain mercy from our sins and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need to do his will. So, there's a much more I have in my notes, but I think we get the gist of it. And I think as we ponder this, as we think about this, as we understand the old covenant is done away, and old covenant is done away, there is a scripture that I can maybe I can address that if there's any questions in the question and answer. I can find that scripture. The old covenant is done away. It's been abolished. It's been replaced. Now, will animal sacrifices be in the millennium? Well, scripture says they will. For what reason? We'll have to wait and find out. But the old covenant ceased once Jesus Christ was resurrected. Actually, here it is, Hebrews 8:13. In what he says, Hebrews 8:13, in what he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Jesus Christ has made that first obsolete. No longer is there. Now, what is being obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Verse 6, but now, that's Hebrews 8:13, and I'm going to go back to verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Superior promises. So quickly, let's just summarize why the new covenant is better than the old covenant. Spiritual promises and spiritual blessings. We represent God. He helps us to do that. He's our high priest who intercedes on our behalf. There is the promise of eternal life through the forgiveness of sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Third, the Holy Spirit is given so we can truly repent and truly obey his commandments. And our sins can be forgiven through the sacrifice of our high priest, Jesus Christ. To have a relationship with our Father. He helps us to overcome sin, not just in the letter, but also in the conscience, in the spirit, to help us to get rid of it. So if we're still struggling with things, we're still struggling with lusting and coveting and things going through our head, you know, he helps us to get rid of it. It can dissipate. Oh, I don't want to look at that anymore. Oh, I don't want to do that anymore. And then when we do, we hate it and we can go before God and repent. But we got to be getting better and better. God reveals his love and favor through Jesus Christ. Everyone will eventually be offered salvation. Eventually, in their time. God's laws and commandments are written in our hearts and our minds so we can have the mind of Christ to want to keep his laws fully. Verse 7, we have direct access to God at all times. I know I'm going quickly. If you want my notes, I can email them to you. You have the booklet. 8, and these are just some key points that we touched on. Jesus Christ ministers as our high priest at the right hand of God. He intercedes in our behalf. We pray to the Father, and Jesus Christ is there praying for us, talking to the Father. Forgive them. I paid the penalty. They're sincere. We're redeemed. We have direct access to God at all times. Isn't that amazing? To ask for help from our dad, from our father, from the great God. And through the new covenant, our minds and our hearts, our core, we can be cleared. Our conscience of dead works that require our death can be forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ. We're given strength by the Father through the Holy Spirit to know His will, to know it. We can know the things of God, as we heard in the sermonette. We can forgive others who sin against us. We can forgive those who hate us. We can forgive those if we go through the tribulation. The Holy Spirit can help us to go through, to be beheaded, if that comes to that. But God tells us that he cares for the brethren. He loves the brethren. Also talks about there is a place of protection, all right? But if we're afraid to lose our life, then Christ says, well, then you have no part of me. Let's just not be afraid to lose our life and let God work it out. He's going to show the world that these people, my people, I'm protecting them. Why? Because they've been doing their part. There will be some that will be martyred. And my assumption, we do know the two witnesses will be. We also know that some of the ministry will be. They're standing and protecting the flock. Maybe there's some deacons, deaconesses. Stephen was, but all of us, maybe there's some members. Maybe there's that opportunity. Ms. Owen, 95, 96, she wants to make it through the tribulation. She wants to be there to help people. She's not focused on her physical life. And I know that's what we all need to be doing. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. The old covenant to the new covenant. I hope this information has helped. I still have more information in my notes of some key points. I don't want to keep going anymore. But I hope this gives us a better understanding of what God put there in the beginning and what He's offering us now. Let's take heed, you know, to God's words. God and His Son are very loving to us. We should be very thankful for what they're wanting to do. For us to be in their family for eternity. The first fruits to be married to the bride. You know, Jesus Christ is the first of the first fruits. He made it. Now He's praying for us to make it. There's a harvest. It's coming. Tomorrow's the number 50, the Feast of Pentecost, the harvest of the first fruits. The harvest of the first fruits that if we make it under the new covenant and just apply what God is wanting to give us and ask for help to overcome Satan and to overcome our nature, He's there to care for us. The Holy Spirit is a power. We will make it. Let's encourage one another. We want to be able to reign and rule and assist whatever we're asked to do. So let's listen to what God is telling us. Let's keep growing and applying God's word as He shows us how we need to be living. So I hope this has been helpful. We'll have the one more hymn. I know this is more of a Bible study type topic, but I will come back up and we'll do a question and answer. If there are any, So we'll have one more hymn and then we'll come back for that.